I. Nah.
Not.
Hino she. You hurl.
Vajram.
The thunderbolt. Hurastite.
Standing in front.
Vairani.
Your enemy.
Mahi.
At me.
Amogam.
Which is infallible.
Your thunderbolt.
Ma,
do not.
Sangsha yista,
doubt.
Na,
not.
Gadaiva,
like the club.
Vajraha,
the thunderbolt.
Syat,
maybe.
Nishpolaha,
with no result.
Kripana,
from a miserly person.
Artha,
for money.
Iba,
like.
Yashnya,
at request.
So translation.
O king of the demigods, since I, your enemy, am standing before you, why don't you hurl your thunderbolt at me? Although your attack upon me with your club was certainly useless, like a request of money from a miser, the thunderbolt you carry will not be useless. You need have no doubts about this. You can repeat, O king of the demigods,
since I, your enemy,
am standing before you,
why don't you hurl your thunderbolt at me?
Although your attack upon me
with your club was certainly useless,
like a request of money from a miser,
the thunderbolt you carry
will not be useless.
You need have no doubts about this.
So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.
When King Indra threw his club at Vritrasura, Vritrasura caught it in his left hand and retaliated by using it to strike the head of Indra's elephant. Thus Indra's attack was a disastrous failure. Indeed, Indra's elephant was injured and thrown back 14 yards. Therefore, even though Indra stood with the thunderbolt to hurl against Vritrasura, he was doubtful, thinking that the thunderbolt might also fail. Vritrasura, however, being a Vaishnava, assured Indra that the thunderbolt would not fail, for Vritrasura knew that it had been prepared in accordance with the instructions of Lord Vishnu. Although Indra had doubts because he could understand that Lord Vishnu's order never fails, Vritrasura understood Lord Vishnu's purpose. Vritrasura was eager to be killed by the thunderbolt manufactured according to Lord Vishnu's instructions because he was sure that he would thus return home back to Godhead. He was simply waiting for the opportunity of the thunderbolts being released. In effect, therefore, Vritrasura told Indra, "If you want to kill me, since I am your enemy, take this opportunity. Kill me. You will gain victory, and I shall go back to Godhead. Your deed will be equally beneficial for both of us. Do it immediately." Okay, Suresha Kazman Nahino Shivashram. Purastate Vaivani Maya Mogam Masam Sayashta Nagadeva Yosh Vajra Shan Nishvala Kripanar Tena Yashna. So, Omagana, Timadanda Shah, Padanjana, Shlakaya, Chakshun, and Meditam, Yena Tosmai, Shigurve, Namaha. So, I have a question for all of you. What is the primary difference between Indra and Vritrasura, according to this verse? Apart from one, that one is a demon, or acting as a demon, and the other one is acting as a so-called devotee. What is it? Can anyone guess?
One has full faith in Lord Vishnu.
Yes. The actual difference is faith, or Shraddha. And it's very, very interesting that how many times Krishna discusses faith in the Vedic literatures, and specifically Bhagavad Gita, but there's many different quotes. Of course, there's that quote from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ado Shraddha Tata Sarvasanga Ta Bhajana Kriya, in which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the progressive path or the different stages of advancement in devotional service. Wow. Shanti, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. So, Lord Chaitanya gives the different stages in devotional service, and he actually states, Ado Shraddha. So that means, Ado means like the first step or the beginning, Shraddha, or faith should be there. Of course, that initial faith is not actually like firm faith in the beginning. It's described by the Acharyas as sort of like a belief in the Vedic literatures, that the Vedic literatures have the truth, but it's not really nishtha faith, or let's say steady faith at that particular point. But anyway, it begins with that faith, and then sadhu-sangho-tava-bhajana-kriya. Then one begins to associate with the sadhus, and bhajana-kriya, doing what the sadhus do, which is bhajana-kriya. That means the activities of bhajana, and then anartha-nivritti. One becomes free from the anarthas, and then nishtha, one becomes fixed in devotional service, then one gets ruchi, and as the ruchi has shakti, bhava, and finally prema. So this is the progressive path of devotional service. So the faith increases at each step. And in the Bhagavad Gita, there's several verses that deal with faith. There's the 17th chapter, text 28, in which it says, sacrifice, penances, austerities, etc., that are done without faith are considered to be asat or useless, both in this life and the next. So, you know, so faith is emphasized by Krishna many times in the Gita. In the 18th chapter, it says that one must listen to Krishna Katha with faith and without envy, and when one does that, one becomes liberated from this material world, goes back to the spiritual world, and goes to the planets where there's eternal happiness. In the 4th chapter, it says the faithful, in the 4th chapter, text 40, it says the faithful man subdues his senses. And this is actually quite interesting, too, in relationship to Indra. Because we find in the history of this Indra, and I'm not really criticizing Indra, this is, actually could be a pastime, but Indra doesn't have such a good time in subduing his senses. He's not so expert at subduing his senses. And the reason can be traced out to actually a lack of faith, because if one actually believes something to be true, I mean absolutely, positively, 100% believes it to be true, then we'll act in accordance with that faith. Of course, that's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sridasya Devisya Sabahe Sudrida Nishtya, that the definition of faith is to have complete trust that if one does what is mentioned in the Vedas or mentioned by the object of one's faith, then everything will be accomplished. Sarvakamakritahoy. So this is actually the definition of faith, and one who has that faith will actually control the senses. Sometimes people make the claim that, oh, the senses are very strong, I can't control them, I'm an addict, you know, or food addict, or addict, you know, there's different types of addiction, an internet addict, or what are the types of, or drug addict, or just like they have all these different organizations, anonymous organizations like Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, and I think they even have some internet anonymous thing right now too, where people meet. And they try to overcome their attraction for these different things, you know, or Sex Anonymous, you know, so many different things. But if one really has complete trust or faith that by doing that particular activity that it's not going to be good for you, then you're going to give it up. It's not a question of simply that that you have no control over everything, of anything. Nowadays, of course, people are not very accustomed to take responsibility for their actions. You know, I just was speaking to someone who is addicted to gambling, and he just blames his gambling addiction on the gambling addiction. He said, I'm addicted to gambling because I'm addicted to gambling. I'm a gambler, compulsive gambler. Well, if you actually have faith that Krishna consciousness, or the goal of life is Krishna consciousness, in order to accomplish Krishna consciousness, you have to give up the gambling, you have to give up intoxication, illicit sex, and all those other things, then you can do those things because at that point you become Vyavasayatmaka Bhutir Ekeha Kurunandana. You become one-pointed. In other words, you're just looking at the goal. You're goal-oriented. So you're able to deal with the pushings and pullings of the senses in different ways. As it says, Vacho Vegam, Manasakurta Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udara Pashta Vegam. The senses are pushing us. The bad tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, and words. I mean, they're all pushing us in different ways. But if one actually has that determination, one can tolerate those things. So it's all based on the point I'm making that Krishna makes in the Gita. It's all based on faith. And then the final verse, actually not the final verse I'm going to quote, but in 624 of the Gita, it says that one must engage in yoga with determination and faith. So it's very important to develop that faith. We're going to speak a little later how to develop that faith. Actually, many other verses from the Gita I wanted to quote today. Ashradana purusha dharma shasha param tapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara varmani. That one who doesn't have faith, ashradana purusha, that person, dharma shasha param tapa, omari-armed Arjuna, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, aprapyamam nivartante, he doesn't attain Krishna consciousness, doesn't attain Krishna, but returns to mrityu samsara varmani, the path of mrityu, that means death, and samsara, repeated birth and death in this material world. And then in the 47th chapter, the 6th verse, Krishna states, yoginam api sarvesham madgatein antaratmanam shadhavam bhajate yomam. So that's an interesting word describing faith, shradhavan. That means one who is full of faith. The best of yogis is one who is full of faith, shradhavan. Vajate yomam, he worships me, and saame yuktatama mataha, I consider that person the topmost or the highest. And if one has that faith, here's another verse, not from the Bhagavad Gita, it's from the, I think it's from the Upanishad, Svetasvatara Upanishad, that yasya devi para bhakti yata devi tata guru, tashayate katika karta prakashante mahatmana. One who actually has firm faith, then everything is revealed to him automatically. This is really interesting. Anyway, so the topic here in today's verse is the topic of faith. So Indra appears to have very little faith. Now that's called by Bhaktivinoda Thakur Kamala Shraddha. That means very, very fragile faith or not complete faith. And so that is the symptom of one who is a Kanishta Adhikari. Now, I'm not saying that Indra is a Kanishta Adhikari because this may be a pastime, and it is a pastime. So at least Indra is acting in such a way to display the characteristics of a Kanishta Adhikari. Because without faith, you're not even qualified to perform Vaidhi Bhakti. As mentioned in the Jiva Dharma, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that faith is actually the essential prerequisite to perform Vaidhi Bhakti. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives different prerequisites for performing different aspects of devotional service. It's an interesting story that's mentioned in regard to this devotee, Brajanath. Brajanath, of course, is or was, in the beginning of the Jiva Dharma, it's described he's a scholar in the Vedic literatures, particularly in the Nyaya Shastra. Nyaya Shastra means logic and reasoning. And then he meets with his Babaji, and this Babaji describes to him, and also his uncle, Vijay Kumar, who was actually a devotee already, this Babaji describes to him that in order to take up Vaidhi Bhakti, the prerequisite for Vaidhi Bhakti, one has to have faith in the Vedic literatures, faith in the spiritual master. And then he decides, based on that faith that he's developed in his guru to take initiation from Babaji Maharaj, and then he takes initiation from Babaji Maharaj, and then he inquires after that, which is really interesting because he does Vaidhi Bhakti just for a few days, and I wish I was so quick in my progress in devotional service. Just a few days. Then he inquires after a few days about the prerequisite for Raghunuga Bhakti. Does anyone know what the prerequisite for Raghunuga Bhakti is?
Volume,
greed. And so somehow or other, he and his uncle have achieved this greed after a few days of performing Vaidhi Bhakti. I wish, like I said, I wish that was my actual position, that I had achieved that greed. And so then, somehow or other, he and his uncle get engaged in performing Raghunuga Bhakti. In Raghunuga Bhakti, one has intense greed to serve a particular Ragatmika devotee. A Ragatmika devotee means one whose atma, one whose very self, is Raga. And that's the eternal residence of Vrindavan and their associates, Nitya Parshada devotees. And so, anyway, so that's the prerequisite for taking up Raghunuga sadhana. And it's interesting, just coming back from Braj, how many people think that they're able to take up Raghunuga sadhana when they haven't even achieved firm faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or firm faith in the injunctions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It becomes something very, very sentimental. Of course, that's known as sahaja, something that is taken very, very cheaply. We see so many, like, sentimental people in Braj, particularly in Radhakund, who don't really understand the process that is taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Rupa Goswami. Anyway, so first we should concentrate on achieving this firm faith, because this is what's going to bring us to the platform of being nishta. And Rupa Goswami describes that there's two types of nishta, or being fixed in devotional service. One type is in regard to one sadhana. It's described about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, that their sadhana was like the lines on a stone. In other words, you couldn't eradicate a line on a stone. In the same way, they were fixed in their sadhana. And the second type of nishta is in regard to life that's, let's say, separate from the sadhana, because we all have different activities that are not part of our sadhana. We were describing yesterday, of course, it was a nice question that was raised in class by Drishti Prabhu, that we do have a time in our daily schedule where we're cultivating our internal life. But the majority of time, unless we happen to be Babaji's, and I'm not a Babaji. The majority of time is in other activities, whether it's preaching Krishna consciousness or maintaining the family or in social dealings. Actually, social dealings are sometimes necessary, depending on one's status in life, especially for grahasthas. There has to be some social dealings. That does not impede one's spiritual progress. What impedes one's spiritual progress in terms of bad association is when one makes like intimate association with people who are not Krishna conscious. Obviously, we make friendship with everybody. We have to deal properly in this world. So, anyway, so the nishta that I'm referring to, the second type of nishta, is in regard to the rest of one's life outside of one's sadhana. How steady one is in controlling one's senses during the day, being fixed on the purpose of life in spite of having to engage in so many different activities, such as social dealings. I mean, that's a lot more difficult. It's easier, not so easy, but it's easier to concentrate on Krishna during the morning program. But it's harder to concentrate on the goal of one's life and to remain fixed and focused and to engage all one's activities during the rest of the day. So that comes when one has that implicit faith. You know, sometimes I'm thinking, when I'm chanting japa and the mind is wandering, that means I don't have so much faith that the mind is wandering, because I'm not completely trusting, because that trust and faith are the same thing. like Prabhupada described faith one time as implicit trust in something sublime. Of course, that most sublime thing is Krishna consciousness. I mean, there's nothing more sublime than transcendental knowledge in Krishna consciousness. So that means like implicit faith means 100% faith, complete trust. Just like sometimes in team building activities, we do these activities that help us trust the other members of the team. There's one particular activity that's quite interesting, is that there's two people and one person is advised to lean backwards to the point where they're going to fall on their back. And there's another person who has to catch them. Did you ever do this exercise? It's quite an interesting exercise. And so, you know, whenever I do it, I think, well, he's not going to try to catch me, but somehow or other he always catches me. So that's the sort of faith we have to have with Krishna. Just like, not that we do something stupid, like we jump off the building to test Krishna is going to catch us, but we understand, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is something else that's brought out in the Jiva Dharma, that Krishna is always maintaining us and Krishna is always protecting us. These are the two, the surrendering principles that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions are very much connected with this faith, or having, once having faith. Of course, the six surrendering principles are as follows. To always, to accept everything favorable for Krishna consciousness, reject everything unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. That requires faith. Because unless you trust in Krishna, then you're going to be thinking, you know, I need something for myself. Now, for example, I just saw part of the Mahabharata last night, you know, this new Mahabharata last night. This part was not actually bona fide, but it brought out that particular point in my mind. It was Bhimsen, who was worshipping Hanuman. I don't know if anyone's seen this new Mahabharata. It's quite interesting. So he was offering some laddus to Hanuman in this Mahabharata. And as he was offering, when he was starting the offering process, he was taking the laddus out of Hanuman's tray and putting them into his tray, thinking, you know, I just have to offer one to Hanuman. Basically, at the end, there was just one. He had taken out like 500 laddus and put them into his own tray. And then finally, in this particular movie, Hanuman came as a monkey and stole all the laddus and he didn't have any for himself. But the point is, one shouldn't think that, you know, if I give everything to Krishna, in other words, accept everything favorable for Krishna consciousness, reject everything unfavorable, there'll be nothing left over for me. One should understand that if you give everything to Krishna, then Krishna, Ananyas chinta yanto mam yejanat padyupasate tesham nityupayukta mam yogikshema vahamyam. Krishna will actually carry what I lack, he'll give me what I lack and protect what I have, according to Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. If one is just like fixed, accept everything favorable, reject everything unfavorable. So these are two of the manifestations of faith. Another two manifestations, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which Prabhupada describes as the surrendering principles, are to always think that Krishna is protecting one and always maintaining one. In other words, have complete faith. That doesn't mean that one doesn't work, go to work, or do something to maintain himself, unless you happen to be like Srivast Thakur, who had the 1-2-3 technique. He told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that if I don't eat for 3 days, I'm going to drown myself in the Ganges. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the goddess of fortune may go hungry, but you'll never go hungry. So don't do that. I mean, we shouldn't try to make Krishna our servant. We are servants of Krishna. Anyway, so the Lord protects one, the Lord maintains one. That reminds me of a story in Vrindavan, how Raghunath Das Goswami, he would chant on the banks of the Radha Kund, and he had so much faith that he didn't even bother to build a bhajan kutir for himself. So in order to protect him from the sun, Srimati Radharani came out and held her veil or cloth over Raghunath Das Goswami's head. And in order to protect him from the tigers, Krishna stood there with a stick. So when Sanatana Goswami saw this, he got very angry at Raghunath Das Goswami and said, you better build yourself a bhajan kutir because you're not supposed to take service from Krishna. So that's an illustration of how Krishna protects and maintains his devotee, but at the same time, we're not supposed to take advantage of that. We're supposed to make some endeavor ourselves in that regard. But ultimately, it's Krishna maintaining and protecting us. And the final two surrendering practices are, one is to be always meek and humble. Now, this meekness and humility doesn't mean that one is always kowtowing to other devotees and acting in such a way that causes people to step on you. But real humility means to basically accept what Krishna says and do what Krishna says and not take any credit for oneself and understand it is Krishna and the spiritual master acting through you. In other words, to have faith in Krishna. And then the final surrendering principle is to have no separate interest other than the interest of the Lord. And that's a big leap of faith. To really think that I don't need to do anything other than serve Krishna and I'll be happy. I mean, a lot of people fall by the wayside not having that particular type of faith. Anyway, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives these principles of faith, and it's important for us to develop this faith. So the final question is, how do we develop this particular faith? One method of developing the faith is, of course, to associate with those who do have the faith. How do we gain that faith by associating with those? By observation, by seeing these examples of Krishna consciousness, these role models of Krishna consciousness. As I mentioned to the devotees many times, that one of the, perhaps the most important way that I develop whatever faith I have is by observing Srila Prabhupada and wanting to emulate him, not in the sense of being copying him, but in the sense of emulating his devotion, his stature, his dedication to Krishna consciousness, and him becoming my role model in Krishna consciousness. So my observation or interaction with Srila Prabhupada increased my faith, and also interactions with Srila Prabhupada's vani. Because our experience, you know, experience is a very important part of increasing the faith. Our experience in performing sadhana bhakti, our experience in reading Srila Prabhupada's books and coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada's movement and serving Srila Prabhupada by different activities like book distribution, that's all part of Prabhupada's instructions, then we actually prachaksha bhagavam dharmyam shushukam kartamavyam, as Krishna describes in the Gita, we actually start to have direct perception of the transcendental reality, direct perception of the self. And this increases our faith. Like Prabhupada would often say, the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. In other words, the proof of Krishna consciousness is actually the experience of Krishna consciousness. Oftentimes when I'm preaching to people, I just encourage them to chant. I don't get so much into the philosophy. I just say, chant, and then let me know what your experience is. You don't have to have so much faith in the beginning because the faith will come by the experience. I mean, it's difficult to have faith in the beginning because we're presented, especially in the modern day, with so many different so-called spiritual alternatives. I mean, there's all these different groups like vying for our attention. You go on the internet, and then you find so many negative things about Krishna consciousness. I mean, perhaps if you plug in Krishna consciousness or any devotee's name, you can find out the negativity before you find out the positive things. And of course, nowadays, the devotees are working on that, paying Google to get the positive things higher. And there's methods for doing that to get your whatever you want people to see on the Google search higher. But so there's so many things vying for our attention, pulling our faith away. I mean, even a few weeks ago, there was an email going around that was criticizing Bhaktivinoda Thakur, some nasty things about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And, of course, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, you go to Radhakund, and most of the Babaji's will try to destroy your faith in Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. This is one of their methods of getting you or luring you out of ISKCON, is to actually destroy your faith in what you're doing. So it's very hard to keep that faith. But faith comes, in this particular respect, from the practice of Krishna consciousness. And what is that initial experience you have? It's not complete ecstasy, seeing Krishna, having Krishna shake your hand. It's becoming detached from this material world. Vasudeva Bhagavati. Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Asu Vairagyam Gyanam Chayat Haitukam. Prabhupada said you can judge your advancement, at least in the beginning stage, by how much you're detached from the material world. In other words, how much things are, you're becoming nirapeksha, not interested in the things of this world. And then as you advance further, you become more attached to Krishna consciousness, the process of sadhana, become more attached to the service, you become more attached to prasadam, don't get him too attached or else you're going to overeat. And it was actually very interesting in this Jiva Dharma. After Rajanath and Vijay Kumar took initiation, they had a big feast. And during this big feast, many of the Vaishnavas were crying out, don't eat too much, don't eat too much. It's actually quite interesting. And during that feast, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to eat the feast, because Lord Chaitanya was so pleased that these devotees had taken up Krishna consciousness and gotten initiated. So anyway, so through experience, through association, through observation, then faith increases because you begin to have direct experience of Krishna consciousness. So that's all we require, that people try Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada would often say that. You try Krishna consciousness and then gradually your faith, and that's what Prabhupada did. He engaged people in chanting. In the beginning, he simply sat down in Tompkins Square Park, engaged people in chanting, and they obviously had some experiences, and those experiences helped them develop their faith and then became devotees. And in the beginning, you know, it was like a bunch of monkeys with Prabhupada. But those monkeys, you know, I don't want to criticize anyone in particular except for myself, they became devotees simply because their faith increased, they had determination, and many of them progressed to the path of Raghunuga and even higher stages of devotional service, but it all begins with faith. So here Indra is showing that he doesn't have much faith in the Lord's instructions, because this construction of the thunderbolt from the bones of Didichi was done under the instructions of the Lord. He should have understood, hey, it's going to be successful, no problem. But here we find Ritrasura had complete faith, and he was thinking, yes, it's going to be successful, I'm going to die, I'm going to go back to Godhead, I'm not interested in this mature world, whereas Indra is interested in the mature world. So here we see the difference between someone who's acting as a Kanishtha Adhikari and someone who's actually a greatly advanced pure devotee, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's all a question of faith. So any questions or comments? Yes?
The question from yesterday.
Okay, question from yesterday, yeah.
You were talking about calculating one's internal bhajans.
Yeah.
For example, the morning prayer.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, what should be our attitude when we come to the temple or we chant? Because we can be physically present and mentally absent. Yeah. So what would you recommend?
Well, it depends on who you are. I'm not in terms of who you are, in terms of male, female, you know, what your name is, whether you're American or Indian. It depends on what stage of devotional service you're at. And therefore, we have Lord Chaitanya's Shikshashtika prayers to teach us different attitudes at different stages of devotional service. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur compares the different prayers of the Shikshashtika to different stages in devotional service. You know, Ado Shraddha Gata Sada Sangha Bhajanakre. Also compares the different verses of Shikshashtika to different times of the day in Krishna's Ashtakaliya Leela. So we should pick some verse or several verses of the Shikshashtika that we can really resonate with. Like one of the verses that most of us can resonate with is Ayananda Tunujakinkaram Patitam Mam Vishame Bhavambuddha. That, oh my dear son of Nanda Maharaj, Kinkaram, I am your eternal servant, but somehow I've fallen down, and the direct translation is not really what we find in the songbook, into this horrible ocean of material birth and death. So in other words, I'm suffering. Save me. And when I first came to Krishna consciousness, that was one of the ways that impelled me to chant or focus on my japa, is that I was praying to Krishna to get me the hell out of this mountain. Of course, that's a desire for liberation, you know. However, you know, we have to be honest. You know, what is our desire? We have to understand and pray in terms of our heart's situation. We can't try to prematurely, or we can, but we shouldn't try to prematurely jump to a higher level than we're actually at. I mean, if some of us pray in the beginning stage, I just want to be a gopi, it just doesn't work. It doesn't resonate with the heart. So what may resonate with the heart is, like, Krishna, please get me back to Godhead. Like Prabhupada, one devotee said to Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, you know what, we shouldn't pray to go back to Godhead, we should just, and Prabhupada said, no, you should pray to go back to Godhead. In other words, that devotee was not ready like Manma Janmani, Janmanishvare, Bhavatad Bhakti, Haituku Tuye. He wasn't ready, Krishna, let me take birth after birth to serve you in the material world. That would not resonate with his heart situation. So we have to find, in other words, I look at the Shikshashtaka and I say, you know, what really resonates with me at this particular time? You know, please fix me. You know, generally it's save me from the material world. You know, please fix me is one of the adjectives of your lotus feet. Like Prabhupada said, when we chant, we should cry out like a child crying out for his mother. And that's like that same verse. I am not coming to Kinkaram. That I am your eternal servant. Help me, help me, help me, Krishna. Now later on, you know, Jirayitam, Nimishena, Chakshusha, Pravajayitam. You know, feeling your separation, I'm considering the moment to be like a yuga cycle. But right now, feeling separation, you know, when we go to sleep at night, we don't feel separation from Krishna. We're just thinking how nice it is to be in bed in nice, calm, nice, warm, cozy covers. Isn't it? I mean, especially when it's cold out, we can pull the covers over our head. And I'm not thinking, oh, Krishna, I'm feeling your separation. I'm thinking, oh, this is so nice here. With my nice cushion.